Welcome to the Kinship Care Liverpool podcast. My name's David. As always, thank you for another week of the best, the worst, the in-betweens and everything else of being a kinship carer, kinship kid, and again, everything in between. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, the easiest way is through our social media, through our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, through our basically anywhere like that, through our website, through the email. You can contact us directly. You will always happily answer questions, putting you in the right direction, anything like that. Now, this is going to be part two of my sort of talk, I want to say TED talk, in regard to taxes. Now, one of the things that's being brought up to me is, of course, that I obviously, as this is a podcast directed to the people of Liverpool, I am mainly talking about taxes in regards to England. And I don't want to people to feel left out in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. It's more just because that's obviously it's going to be more relatable. A lot of the times it is exactly the same. There are a few little hints, little pieces, bits and pieces here and there that are different, more into, but I'm sure if you are living in those areas of the country, you'll know about that. The one main thing is obviously in regards to your tax code. There's a slight variation in the fact that Scotland has an S at the beginning of it, Wales is a C, and I believe it's Ireland is an N. I'm sure it's an N, but if not, I don't actually think it is. I think they might just have the same as ours. But the very, very, very small differences between them, obviously they're all sort of governed financially in a different way. So I don't want to give any kind of misinformation. So this is generally going to be about England tax, or Liverpool tax, I suppose it would be. So we left over from last time. We've just been talking about the tax codes and obviously the allowances and things like that. And one of the things that's really being brought up is in regards to refunds. And of course, as I said previously, you know, what will happen a lot of the times, or what happened in the past didn't really happen a lot recently, is that you receive a letter that says you may be eligible for a refund. Now, we don't really generally, oh, I keep saying we, and obviously I do work for the tax office, we don't generally do that anymore. And the reason being is one is because it costs too much to basically send blanket statement letters to everyone, you know, in regards to as a postage, from a paper point of view, from a, just a from that kind of thing. It's generally all online, which I know can be a bit of a pain sometimes, but generally you find that people will know if they have a refund or not. But if you do receive any of those letters like that, say they're very, very rare that they do it, but it's more just to sort of prompt you to contact the tax office. But generally what will happen is you'll basically just receive a letter. You know, the tax year runs April to April, and then once the reconciliation of all the taxes have come in, it's all been counted, it's all been seen that you've overpaid or underpaid, then the letters start going out. Now, generally, and this is a good thing, generally the first letters that will always go out are the ones that say that you're owed money. So if you are receiving a letter in sort of April, May, June time that says that you owe the tax office money, it's likely because you owe them such a substantial amount that it's a concern that needs to be looked at. And as I say, you probably wouldn't know about that. But usually the first sort of two, 3 months, and I say it can take up to November, which is how long it takes to go through them. The one thing that I always say in regards to that is that I know that sounds strange to say, well, reconciliation happens in April. Why are people waiting until November before they receive anything? Well, you know, there is, what's that, 4.8 billion people or something of that nature of working standards who are able to work and have been given these. You know, it's not an easy task. You know, and a lot of times it is mainly because they want it to all be digital. So there's a new thing called a personal tax account. Now, if you go to HMRC personal tax account, it's essentially the government gateway. You just register with a couple of pieces of ID. So I think it's your passport, driving license, something with your address on it. Gives you access online. If you are self-employed, it's really helpful. Or if you have to do self-assessments or make payments, it's really handy to do that. But one of the best things about this is that you can gain access to it anytime. You can look at it and go, things have changed. What? Why has this changed? What's my tax code? Where is it? There's an app version of it now, so that makes it even easier. So if you decide to start working for someone else, if you decide to work with other people, if you start doing more than one job, and this is one of the things, especially in regards to when you receive your pension, because what seems to happen recently is that a lot of people now have multiple pensions. If you've ever seen any of those adverts for things like Pension B, where they will talk about putting all your pensions together and then it will all be done, you know. And it seems like it's that, I mean, that actually probably would be a really easy thing to do. So for example, with myself, you know, obviously with my previous job and with this job, I am obviously entitled to a pension. Unless I put them together in some way, when I finish working in 100 years or whenever they decide that I can stop working, I will be claiming two pensions. Now, what that means is my tax code, which is your 1257L, let's just said, depending on how much I'm going to get each year, and let's just face it, most pensions are not going to be livable. So it's going to be sort of divided between the two. And obviously, as long as they cover the money, then it should be tax-free. The one thing I would say in regards to that is one of the biggest things that always messes up everything is bonuses and extra payments. And it sounds horrible to say it this way, but sometimes getting a bonus, getting an extra bit of payment, working overtime and getting a month, you see this around Christmas time and summertime and things like that, where you'll get someone who they only earn £1,000 a month, and then all of a sudden there's bank holidays and there's overtime and there's extra shifts, and then all of a sudden they're earning £1,900, £2,000, whatever it would be. The system's not very clever, or it is very clever. It's a very knee-jerk reaction system, where what it will do is it will then think, well, actually, this person must earn £2,000 every month. He's obviously got a pay rise. Let's update his whole entire year to show that he earns £2,000 for the next 12 months. What that will then do is it will increase your tax the amount of tax that you need to pay, which once it calculates that, it will start saying, whoops, because we're now in August, you've missed out on all this time when you can spread the tax over, and so now they have to reduce your tax code and start paying it off. And then you have to ring up and say, sorry, that was just 1 month, it was just the bonus, it was just, you know, a one-off payment, like a gesture of goodwill from the company, and now I'm not getting that every month. And when people get pensions, this happens quite a lot, especially because one of the things that you do get when you're a pension, I'm sure everyone would know, is you get lump sums. And if a lot of people, what they will do is they'll take a lump sum of their pension to pay off their mortgage or pay for a holiday or do some work on the house or whatever it would be. They take £10,000. But then the system will knee-jerk reaction and think, well, actually, that means that this guy's going to get £120,000 this year. And it seems ridiculous, but unfortunately, that's what it does. So if you are someone who's going to be taking, if you're going to get a bonus or you're going to take a lump sum of your pension, always be aware that the next month it's likely going to happen. So you may want to just check the online system or check online or check the company and just make them aware with the tax and office and make them aware that this isn't a regular thing, because otherwise 9 times out of 10 you'll be ringing them the next month because you've been overtaxed. Now in regards to overtax, and again in regards to refunds, there's two types of refunds. There's a end of year refund and there's an in-year refund. Now the end of year refund is basically you've got to April, as I say, they've calculated everything. You should have paid £1,000 tax. We've actually seen that you've paid £2,000, so therefore they owe you £1,000 back. Then they start processing it, and it comes out either as a transfer if you've got the online app and everything, or it'll come through as a check. That's fine, fancy, everything's done. The other option is halfway through the year. So, for example, if you're on that BR code that I was talking about last time, and the OT code and all of those things, sometimes you're on them, like I was, for months and months and months on end. And then you realise, well, actually, I shouldn't be paying this tax. Or I didn't realise, I don't look at my pay slip, which a lot of us don't do. You know, I'm guilty of it myself, you know, not looking at tax codes and things like that. So with this, I would say, once you've rang them up and said, well, actually, I shouldn't be on BR, I should be on 1257L. What will then happen is the next month you will get back all of that money you've overpaid. And you don't have to wait till the end of the year, you don't have to wait till April and get a check and everything like that. That literally will get processed through the wages, through the payroll, and then you'll get that back within usually 1 month, but we always say, you know, it's always 2 months just in case. So if you ever sit there and think, I'm on the wrong tax code, I'm going to have to wait months, years for this money to come back, don't panic, because it won't, because it will take that. Now, one of the things that I'm not going to go through in this, and it's mainly just because I don't know enough about it, is in regards to self-employment, because it is just a minefield of complications, because there's so many other things that you can look at in regards to whether you've got to take into consideration insurances and your staff and those type of things. Again, I just don't know enough about it. So if you are someone who's, if you are sitting there thinking, yeah, but I'm self-employed, how will this help me? I do apologize. I just don't know enough about it. It's not being my sort of expertise. And really, for our kinship carers, it's probably not something that's going to be relevant unless you're starting to do your own working or your kinship child's going to be doing that. If they are, one of the things I would always recommend is that you do speak to like a financial advisor. You go into a thing called ACAS, which is looks at help with financial issues. But there's a lot of things that you can do with that. I don't know enough other than self-assessment seems to be a minefield that I'm glad that I've never had to do one. So as I say, in regards to the tax codes, you usually should be on a 1257L. Anything below that is bad. Anything above that is great and can be increased. And obviously the more allowances that you get. So one I would always say, there's a HMRC website. There's a site called Claiming Working Benefits. Working expenses, and these will go through the expenses that you may be eligible for, and a lot of people don't even realize that they can get these things. So the things like claiming for uniform washing, working from home, for professional subscriptions, there are a lot of doctors, nurses, people of that nature who have to pay just to be on the medical register and that type of thing, and you can claim your tax back on that. So if you're sitting there and you're a doctor, a nurse, whatever it is, and you're thinking, well, I need to work, but I can't afford to keep paying every year this 100, 200, 300, whatever it would be, be aware that you can claim it back. Plus, if you haven't claimed for these things, you can back pay them. I believe it's 4 to 5 years, although obviously when you do the claim, it will advise when the claim can stop. But generally, if you listen to Martin Lewis and those type of things, if you were eligible for these things in the past, so marriage allowance is a big one at the moment, where if you, and I'll slightly explain it because it's a bit of a complicated one. The way marriage allowance works is as long as you are earning less than 50,000, and you or one of you or your partner is not in work or not earning more than 12,570, you can claim a 10% of their allowance. So, for example, with myself, I claim my wife's 10%, so I get an extra 10% on my allowance. And what would happen is, because a lot of people don't know about this, you can claim back up until obviously when you got married. And this can, if you've ever seen those adverts, usually on YouTube and Instagram and everything like that, when you talk about marriage allowance, and you see these people picking up checks for like £300, £400, £500, £1,000, generally that's true. You can potentially take, you can get, that amount of money back if you've not claimed anything for it, but it is great ongoing. But that's the basics of that. And obviously what it does ongoing is that it adds, £1,200 extra onto your tax-free allowance. So it means that you're paying less tax. So that, as I say, whenever that amount increases, when that 1270 goes up, that's always a good sign. Now, the other code that you need to be aware of, though, is a K code. Now, generally, if you've got a K code, it means that something's happened. It means that you've either been on the wrong code for a long, long time and therefore not paid any tax, or paid too little tax, or you find this a lot, unfortunately, when people when you start, you have to give an estimate of how much you're going to earn. Usually you can predict it and say, oh, I'm going to earn 12,000, 10,000, whatever it would be. But if you say, I'm only going to earn 10,000, but it's a commission-based job and you've had an amazing year, by the end of the year, you've earned 200 grand. Well, the way it works is at the beginning of the year, they've calculated your tax based on 10 grand. So they haven't taxed you for the entire year. Got to the end of the year and now they're saying, well, you now owe you 20%, you know, however much, 40% on 100, you know, 200 grand. And obviously you can't take, you know, that's a massive amount of tax to take in one go. They put you on the K code and it just means that for 1 or 2 years, there's going to be a lot of tax that you're not going to be, that you're going to have to pay back. So as I say, in regards to, you know, there will never be someone knocking on your door to say, you know, give me your TV and your stereo, we're going to, you know, take everything. You know, obviously if it's serious and it's, you're not addressing it in any way, not looking to put things in place, then they may do that. But obviously, you know, that's the way that works with that. So that's really all I've got to say in regards to taxes. There's quite a lot still to get through. I could probably do maybe 2 or 3 more episodes just on things like tax codes and how you can make claims and all these type of things. If you ever need any help with taxes, obviously if you're in the Liverpool, if you're part of Kinship Care Liverpool, you do contact me, see if there's anything we can do, because there are a lot of those things that people don't even realize that they're entitled to. So, you know, working from home, the uniform allowance, you're washing the uniforms, you know, and one thing I would say about that is that the loophole, and it's not really a loophole, it's actually in the conference, is that the uniform is something with a logo. So if you are working at McDonald's and you are wearing your entire, everything you wear is all yours, apart from the T-shirt that's got an M on it, that's still classed as a uniform. Same if you're in a school, same with all that. If you are wearing your own clothes, but you have to wear the T-shirt, the jumper or the whatever it is, and it's got that logo on it, you can claim for uniform. For obviously, there's levels of it. If you are working in a hospital, obviously, there's more higher, you know, a level so you can get because of the type of uniform you have to wear. But obviously there's no harm in asking. And that's the one thing I would always say with these, is there's no harm in applying. Now, one thing I probably would just like to leave it on is in regards to anything to do with applying for these things, like the refunds or anything like that, a lot of the forms are very, very convoluted. Unfortunately, it's just the nature of the beast. It's the same with anything, same with PPI, it's the same with insurances, it's the same with anything like that. When you are claiming for these things, it's very rare, same with benefits, same with EHATs, ECEHCPs. These are not forms that are very friendly. They're usually 5 to 10 pages of gumph that you need to just tick 6 boxes in. However, there are a lot of companies out there that will do this for you. However, again, they will generally take some of it, if not all of it. There are what they call nominee people, and they will ask you, do you want us to apply for this? Now, they may just hide it in all of the bump that they're going to take 20%, 10%, 50%, whatever it would be. Now, it may seem quite happy. You may be sitting there looking at the forms thinking, well, I don't know how to fill this in, so at least I'll get some of the money back. If you ever get to that point, just ring HMRC. Ring the number. It's on the HMRC website. Just ask them what you need to do. They'll send you the form. They'll tell you what to do. Go to the Citizens Advice Bureau. Come to the kinship groups. You know, ask someone if they can help with the forms. The reason I say this is because, one, 9 times out of 10, the scams. 9 times out of 10, they are scams who will... Yeah, because you have now nominated them as someone to fill in the form, the checks and things will then go to them. So that means that, yes, technically they still need to give you the money, but unless you're willing to chase them for the money and then go through, you know, fraud action and all of those things, you may actually think, it's not worth it, and then just leave it as it is. You say things to yourself like, "Oh, it's money I didn't have, so what's the point?" Now, that's the one thing. The other thing, of course, is that you know, this is money that's owed to yourself. So they will. The other issue with what they do is because you've now given them authorization to do that, they will then 9 times out of 10 apply for everything else. So if they think that you've got missold insurances or anything of that nature, generally buried in the small print, and I've seen this unfortunately a couple of times, buried in the small print, it will say, you now give us authorization with the signature to go and look for all of the things. So they will look to see if you've been missold your mortgage, if they'll go and look and see if you've been missold any insurances, any packs, anything of that nature. And they will apply, and there will be you won't have a leg to stand on. So I would always advise to never let them do it unless you know the company from previous dealings with them, and you're happy with them, and you think they're very good. That's fine. But if they are just literally a Facebook post or a little thing on thing that says, you know, have you claimed for this? We'll do it for you. You know, 9 times out of 10, buried in the small print, it will say, we will take 50% and then you give us authorization to do whatever we want with all your details. It's fraud. It's horrible to say, but this is things that you can do. So if you are sitting there thinking, well, actually, I've worked from home for the last 5 years or 4 years or 2 years, whatever it has been, never claimed anything for it. You know, that's essentially potentially around about, I think it's about £90 a year that you've lost just by doing that. The marriage allowance thing, again, it's about, I think it's about £600-700 that you could potentially be losing depending on what's going on. There's so many things out there, again, with the professional subscriptions, with the uniforms, with the laundry stuff. There's so many things there that you can claim for, and especially with everything going on at the moment, and obviously the cost of living crisis that seems to be keeping on going. You know, the last thing you want is to be sitting there and giving someone access to basically taking money that is yours. So I would always advise that you do that. You know, as I say, if you are part of a kinship group, Kinship Care Liverpool, if you're sitting there thinking, actually, I think I might be eligible for it, give us a call, give us a contact, we will have a look at that for you. We can't guarantee that you will have anything, but again, there's no harm in asking. All HMRC can do is say no. It's the same with the refunds, it's the same with your tax refunds. The number of times I've had to take a call that says, I think I'm due a refund, and the answer's been, well, no. Unfortunately, this is the year when you've actually paid the correct amount of tax. Or on the bad side is saying, unfortunately, no, you actually owe us money. We'll now let's deal with that. But there's no harm in asking, can I claim for working from home? I do work from home. I have worked from home through the pandemic and everything else. So definitely would recommend having a look at that. And I would just advise you, if you think you can't do it, ask someone, whether it's Citizens Advice, whether it's your local, most libraries do like surgeries where you can go and speak to someone and they'll help you with online forms and things like that. A lot of it can be done online. A lot of it has to be done on paper where you're signing it. Again, we will help as much as we can, if there's a way of doing that. As I say, this was really, didn't want to end on a downer there, but I do kind of want everyone to really get everything they're entitled to. If by these two episodes you understand tax a little bit more, and this is really good, obviously, for your kinship kids if they're 16, 17, 18, about to go into sort of the working environment. They don't understand what's going on. They've been taxed. Why am I being taxed? This might help answer a couple of questions that you may have. It's hard sometimes when you don't know. And I say, I didn't know anything. I just sort of bumbled along, just carried on as it is. It has been quite an eye-opening thing to actually see that, state pensions get taxed. And that's something I didn't even realize happened. So it is bizarre that happens. But it's the way of the world. So as always, if you're going to get in touch with us about this or anything else, please do through our social media, through the Facebook, the Instagram, Twitter, through the new Twitter Kinship Pod, through any of the social, the the podcast that subscribers that you're using, whether it's Amazon, Deezer, iTunes, whatever it is that you've got, please subscribe, like, star, review, anything like that always helps. Obviously, we have got the Kinship website. We have got my email is always on there, all of the episodes. So if you have any questions, you can DM me through through Twitter, which is a lot easier. Or you can just ask questions on Twitter. You know, I will always answer. It pops up whenever anyone interacts with me. I've just had a lovely interaction with Kathy Glass, who, if you don't know her, she writes a lot of the books. She's a foster care who writes books about foster care. So she's quite, my wife loves all of her books. It's quite nice sort of to see that she's not just some bot on there. So she's quite a lovely woman. I've actually spoken to her quite a few times. But yeah, so it's always nice to get any kind of interaction with anyone. So as always, if you want to get in touch with us, easiest way is through there. So thank you much for listening. My name's David, and you've been listening to the Kinship Care Liverpool podcast.